ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्याज्ञानञ्जन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
There are four basic miseries in this material world, namely birth, death, old age, and disease. And because of these miseries, no one can be happy in this material world. Birth is miserable. We don't know because we forget, but life in the womb is also very miserable. From the Vedic literature, we have information that within the womb, the child is conscious and feels very uncomfortable being packed up and lying upside down. But the experience of birth itself is so painful that he forgets. And of course, death is also miserable. No one wants to die, but death is forced upon us. We talk about the struggle for existence, but however hard anyone struggles, they don't continue to exist. They have to die. So between birth and death, there is also old age and disease. Old age is also miserable. The digestion system doesn't work properly. A person's strength is broken down. Hearing, seeing, all the functions of the body gradually deteriorate. And disease is also miserable. There are so many different kinds of disease. By modern medical research, different kinds of diseases have become much less common. Diseases such as tuberculosis and smallpox have become uncommon. But by the laws of nature, other diseases are coming. We cannot avoid the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. So an intelligent person should see that this is the condition of material life. Now most people, if we say this to them, they say, they don't even want to hear about it. They'll say, well, that's natural, we all have to die. So we might as well enjoy ourselves while we're here. Eat, sleep, drink, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. This is not a very elevated approach. This puts a human being on the level of animals, because the animal is also doing the same thing. He has no thought about the future or how to overcome suffering. So another approach is to see that there are so many miseries in this material world and become hopeless. Some philosophers, they say, or so-called philosophers, they say that life is meaningless and pointless, therefore the only question left is whether or not to commit suicide now. Some people, when we talk about these things, birth, death, old and the age and disease, they say, well, you're being very pessimistic. But it's not actually pessimism, it's realism. Just like if we say, in the winter it's going to be very cold, that's not pessimism, that's just realism. Or if it's pouring with rain outside, and someone says to you, well, don't go out, you'll get wet, and you say, well, don't be pessimistic, that's just foolishness. So as devotees of Krishna, we are not pessimistic, but we are realistic about the nature of this material world. It is miserable. Most people try to forget this misery by intoxication, or sex, or going to movies, or something like this. They absorb themselves in fantasies like watching football games, which have no actual relationship to any importance. They take unimportant things such as fashions, and like this, fashions, movies, sports, as being very important. But in Krishna consciousness, we see the nature of this material world. We understand the need to go beyond this world of suffering, and to come to our natural happy position. We understand that naturally we are meant to be happy. Otherwise, why do we struggle for existence? We struggle for existence because we are meant to exist. We are all spiritual beings, but because we are in this material world, we are subjected to repeated birth and death in different bodies. But when we come to the spiritual position, then we go to the spiritual world where there is no repeated birth and death. There is only happy life. So devotees of Krishna are not pessimists. We are the greatest optimists. But we are not foolish optimists that sing a song, be happy, and just forget all the miseries of material life. But we recognize what is the nature of this material world, and we recognize what is the nature of the spiritual world. We have information of the spiritual world from the Vedic literatures. That there is a place, or there is a place where our desire to be happy, to live eternally, that is fulfilled. Everyone desires to be happy. People are trying in different ways to be happy, but they don't know how to be happy. By the nature of Maya, or the illusory energy which overshadows this whole world, everyone is trying to be happy in ways that cannot make them happy. Generally, people think that if I get money, position, power, or a woman thinks if I get a nice husband, or a man thinks if I get beautiful women, then I will be happy. But we have never seen in the history of the world that anyone has actually become happy by any of these things. In the course of preaching Krishna consciousness throughout the world, I meet many different kinds of people. Sometimes I meet very rich people, sometimes very poor people. And practically we can observe that it's not that because someone has got a lot of money that they are very happy. Often it is the people who have a lot of money have more anxieties, because they're always worried about losing their money. And they have so many factories and businesses and estates that it's a constant pressure on their mind to manage them all. Plus, they are never satisfied. Someone who has a lot of money, he always wants to have more and more and more. Even though he may have enough money to retire and live in luxury for the rest of his life, he's not satisfied. He thinks, I should increase my business more and more. Generally, we think that all these material opulences will bring us happiness, but it doesn't. There are so many examples, just like Marilyn Monroe. Even today, everyone knows her name. That she had everything, it would seem, that would make a young lady happy. She was beautiful, famous, rich, mixed with all the top people in America, but she wasn't happy, and that's why she committed suicide. So you may be a very famous figure of this material world, or just a so-called ordinary person, but no one is feeling satisfaction by trying to be happy within this material world. Or even if you have a false sense of happiness. Just like we meet people, they say, yes, I'm happy. I have my wife, my car, my house, my dog, my cat. Everything is very nice. I have my TV. What else could a man want? But it's temporary. You may think I'm in a very nice position, but you can't stay in it. Time is like a great steamroller that crushes everything. You're very nicely living in your house, and the house will very nicely continue to exist, but you, sir, have to go on somewhere else. Or, you don't know, it may be that you built your house very nicely and you're living very happily, and then all of a sudden someone drops a mortar on it. It could happen in this country especially. So whether you get blasted out of your house by a grenade, or whether you just die so-called peacefully in your bed, you have to leave that situation. Therefore, the Vedanta Sutra, which is the summary of all the Vedic literatures, begins with the statement, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that we have achieved this human form of life, we should inquire into the absolute truth. In this human life, we have more intelligence than the animals. It's supposed to be an axiomatic fact. Although examining the way people behave, sometimes we think maybe the animals are better behaved than the humans. So anyway, the humans, they're supposed to have more intelligence than the animals. So what is the proper use of that intelligence? Intelligence can be used for developing technology, for arts and science. So all these things are things that humans can do, animals cannot. But even if by developing art, science, technology, literature, all these things, if we don't inquire into the nature of the absolute truth, then we haven't properly used our intelligence. By developed intelligence, we build skyscraper buildings. But that propensity to build a building is no different from the animals, just like the birds, they make a nest. Or so many industries, now they call it the meat industry, that means slaughterhouses. So there are so many industries, but the basic aim of life, the basic aim of all these industries is just to make life comfortable and to make a few people, very rich. So human intelligence is being directed into science and technology and all these things, but the same conditions prevail, birth, death, old age and disease. So although human society has made progress in one direction, in technology, in the spiritual direction or the philosophical direction, there's been no progress whatsoever. Rather, all this technology is being used as a kind of smokescreen to cover the real philosophical aim of life. Now you can get your cable TV, you can choose between 100 channels, and you can have your multimedia show on your computer. You can watch sports from the other side of the world live via satellite TV. So by technology, there have been so many distractions which take away our intelligence from the proper introspective look at what's going on around us. It's very easy just to turn on the TV and become an idiot. They call that the idiot box. They call it in your language also? Because most of the programs, they're just for idiots, like Donald Duck or something like this. And even if you're not an idiot when you start to watch it, if you go on watching it, you'll definitely become an idiot. But we're satisfied to be idiots, and you don't have to think about anything. You come home from work, and you turn on the TV. And that's your whole life. People spend their whole lives without ever thinking, what is the purpose of life? If you ask people, they'll say, to enjoy life, to have a good time. But what is that good time? You work in a factory or an office, then you come home and turn on the TV. And for 2 weeks a year, you come to the beach in Pula or Malaga or someplace like this and lie on the beach. And this is supposed to be having a good time. Or every weekend you also get release from the office. So you can have a good time getting drunk, falling on the ground, urinating, talking all nonsense. No, actually, this is how people are living in the modern age, and they think this is having a good time. You spend all your money you work hard, spend your money to get drunk, talk all nonsense, and wake up the next morning with a headache. And you said, well, I had a really good time. I can't remember it because I was drunk, but I'm sure I had a good time. So this whole modern way of life, it's a very fast way of life. Yeah. Work hard, enjoy yourself, have a good time, go to the disco, jump in a car, get into fifth gear, drive somewhere fast, jump in a plane, go somewhere. So the whole modern way of life, it's just like a big intoxication. Keep the adrenaline flowing. But it covers the real goal of life, which is to inquire into the nature of reality. We're so busy running around here and there, we don't stop to think, what is the purpose of life? Although I can run around here and there now, eventually I'm going to get old and die. And what happens after that? And people will say, well, when you die, everything's finished. Although they have no evidence to show for that. And all the highly advanced spiritual leaders of the world in the course of history have all refuted such an idea. Definitely there are many people in the world who have achieved a high level of spiritual understanding. You cannot just reject personalities such as Jesus, Muhammad, Krishna, Buddha, as you can't just say they're all fools. They all had a tremendous effect on society. You see, the politicians, they come and go. They don't actually have so much effect on society as the philosophical leaders. And what to speak of these great famous names, there are so many people who have had and are still today having spiritual experiences. What to speak of great spiritually self-realized persons, even ordinary people like us, can have spiritual experiences. Just like, for instance, we were just now chanting Hare Krishna. Now, we chant Hare Krishna a lot. We chant every day, many times. And we don't get tired of that chanting. Every time we chant, our spiritual tendencies are awakened and enlivened more and more. We feel the presence of God in His holy names. And all of you have just experienced that by chanting. It may not be the fully realized state, but definitely an experience is there. No one can deny that. If you try to chant some material sound, you get fed up very quickly. Just like all these pop songs, they're always changing, bring a new one, because you get fed up of the old one. What's the most popular song nowadays, number one in the charts? Does anyone know? I'm out of touch with these things. No one knows. Well, you're lucky. Anyway, just imagine some pop song, just like the Beatles made that song, very intelligent words, She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, 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 yeah. It's very enlightened kind of song. So you might like this song. When you hear it, you think this is a very nice song. But imagine if we said, oh, you like this song? Okay, we'll play it. We'll put the headphones on and we'll play it 24 hours nonstop for 3 weeks. What to speak of 3 weeks? Even after three times hearing it, you'll be beginning to get fed up. Or anything, just like they make these advertisements for Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola. So you take any material sound, Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, repeat it again and again. You'll become fed up very soon. But when we chant Hare Krishna, we don't get tired of that chanting. Because this is a sound vibration on a different level. This is a spiritual sound vibration. These are the names of God. Now, some people will say, well, you're just brainwashed. You're just like robots. So they can say that if they like. But we invite them to come and discuss with us. We're not fools. We will discuss philosophy with anybody. We're not doing this because we're being manipulated. We've come to this out of our own choice. Because we've seen the material world and we see there's no satisfaction there. Therefore, we have chosen to apply ourselves to a process of spiritual upliftment. This is required for human beings. Otherwise, human life is wasted. I was saying this, atato brahma jigyasa. Now we should inquire into the nature of the absolute truth. We should ask, why are we suffering? Why do I have to die, although I don't want to die? Why do I have to suffer disease, although I don't want it? Often children ask these questions from their parents or teachers. Children are often very inquisitive. At least they used to be, and nowadays they grow up with Tom and Jerry and all these things, so probably their brains are spoiled at a very young age. But generally children ask these questions, but often they're just told by their parents, don't ask silly questions like this. Yeah. These are the most important questions. This is a really important question. Why do we have to die? What happens after death? If you can't give these answers to your children, then you're cheating them. It's not enough for parents simply to give food, shelter, clothing and education to their children. They have to give spiritual knowledge also. Every person needs to know the answers to these questions. Because if we die foolish and ignorant like the animals, then we have to become animals again in our next life. Yang yang vapi sran bhavam tyajanteva kalevaram tam tame vaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes that according to our consciousness at the time of death, we get a suitable body in the next life. If our consciousness is like that of a dog's, then we'll get the body of a dog in the next life. Dog means he's simply interested in his own self-interest and tries to chase others away. Don't come here, this is my territory. So this is going on all over the world nowadays, this doggish mentality. Or very envious mentality, like a snake. A snake will bite even without any provocation, or even at the slightest provocation. So a human being who has got such an envious nature, he's preparing himself to become a snake in the next life. So in this human form of life, if we don't purify our consciousness, then we have to go down to the lower species. This human form of life is like a junction. When you're driving, you come to a junction, you can choose. You can go left, forward, right. Or in the more progressive countries, they have junctions where you can take about 20 different alternatives. You get so confused. So this human form of life is like that. According to our activities in this life, we set up our future life. Urdvanga chanti sattvastha. Those who act in the mode of goodness, those who live pure lives, they go upwards to the heavenly planets. Madhye tishtanti rajasaha. Those who act in the mode of passion, they again take birth on the earthly planet. Jaganya gunavritisto adhoga chanti tamasa. Those who act foolishly like animals, they become animals in their next life. But in our Krishna conscious movement, we are interested in attaining the highest perfection of life. That means getting free from the cycle of birth and death, becoming completely purified, and preparing ourselves to enter the spiritual world for the eternal service of Krishna. That is the goal of life. Much can be spoke about this, but not in a few minutes. But it is a fact that if we use this life for understanding Krishna, we can go to Krishna. So we may ask, well, how can I understand Krishna? I'm not an Indian, I'm not a yogi, I don't know about these things. But there's no such material condition to understand Krishna. Anybody, whatever position you're in, can start to approach Krishna by the process of bhakti yoga. Yoga means to link with the Supreme. Nowadays, yoga is misunderstood to be a series of exercises for losing weight or keeping healthy or something like this. But the real meaning of yoga is to link with the Supreme. And there are many different systems of yoga. This exercise system of yoga is part of the Ashtanga yoga system. That means the Eightfold system of yoga. The idea of this system is by a mechanical process to control the body, and particularly to control the breath, and in this way to gradually control the mind, and then fix it on the Supreme. But in this age, it's not possible to practice such a yoga system, because there are many conditions for practicing this yoga system. For a start, one should go to a peaceful place where there's no anxiety. I wouldn't recommend Sarajevo as such a place, or any modern city. One has to have a very long lifetime, and he has to be prepared to execute severe austerities. But that's not possible in the modern age. People, they can't fix their mind. It's very difficult for them to fix their mind. Just like we see here, there's this little girl. Her mind is completely out of control. So there should be some system to control the mind. But in the modern age, it's very difficult. You see, not only that, but even the adults, they can't concentrate on hearing because their mind is also not controlled. So in this modern age, it's called the age of Kali, there is a different system of yoga that is based upon chanting the names of Krishna. This immediately brings us to the highest point of yoga, which is to understand the Supreme Person, Krishna. This can immediately take us to the highest perfection of yoga if we take it seriously. This yoga can be practiced by any person in any time, any place, or any condition. Whether one is a monk, or a student, or an office worker, factory worker, soldier, politician, whatever, anyone can chant Hare Krishna and achieve the highest perfection of life. So as I say, we don't have much time. It's a vast subject, which has to be understood gradually. But the basic principles are very simple to understand. That these bodies are temporary, but we are eternal spiritual beings. We are not meant for suffering in this material world. We are meant for eternal happiness with Krishna, who is the reservoir of all pleasure. We can attain to that happy position of eternal spiritual life by practicing bhakti yoga or the yoga of devotion. It is very easy and very joyful to prosecute this system of yoga. It is based upon the chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra, which anybody, even in the very beginning stages, if they chant this mantra, they can begin to feel the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So it is a great subject. Many of you have already taken up Krishna consciousness very seriously. More and more people all over the world are taking this up seriously. As more and more people all over the world are coming to understand that modern civilization is an ongoing disaster, and they are therefore looking for spiritual alternatives. So we have also looked and found that there is no better alternative than this. This Krishna conscious movement is not something dreamed up a few days ago, but it is an ancient process. It is based on tradition coming from many thousands of years. Everything about Krishna consciousness is explained philosophically in a very scientific manner. Everyone can perceive the effects of Krishna consciousness in their lives, that by chanting Hare Krishna, they come to a higher platform of consciousness. And they're no longer victimized by petty pleasures, so-called pleasures. So we invite you to examine this Krishna conscious movement, take part in classic literatures of spiritual knowledge that are as much relevant in the world today as they have ever been. Yeah. It is not that because nowadays we have space rockets and bombs and computers and jet planes that spiritual knowledge is out of date. Because despite all this external progress, the same basic existential position continues. there is still birth, death, old age and disease. An intelligent person should try to find the solution to these problems. The solutions are in the process of Krishna consciousness. Don't believe me? Study these books, study this movement, and come to your own conclusion with your own good intelligence. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions, please? No questions. That means everyone's completely convinced. No doubts at all. Okay. I go get some water.
I often have some doubts in the process of Krishna consciousness, although I've been a devotee for almost 4 or 3 or 5 years. I do not know, sometimes I do not have the will even to carry on. So I'm interested, what is the actual cause of the doubt?
The cause of the doubt is our attachment to material sense gratification. Practicing Krishna consciousness 3 or 4 years, what does that mean? We've been practicing non-Krishna consciousness for 3 or 4 zillion lifetimes. So the effect of that will continue unless we are very determined to become free from it. To fully take to Krishna consciousness means to declare war on material life, to kick out all foolish misconceptions from our mind. So if we don't do that, if we're trying to embrace Maya and at the same time embrace Krishna, we won't get Krishna. It's up to us how seriously we take to Krishna consciousness. Krishna. The more seriously we take it, the more effect we'll get. Some other question someone is going to ask?
Yeah. We are here in this material world. How does one adjust this material life and spiritual life? Meaning, we are living in material world, so how do we adjust it with spiritual practice, not to mix the two?
No, the two things can go on side by side. That means to maintain your material position, some work has to be done. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that everyone has to do some kind of work. So, becoming Krishna conscious is not an excuse for becoming idle. What work do you do? Are you a professional photographer?
Amateur photographer.
What work do you do?
Nothing particularly.
Nothing in particular. Well, what's the problem? You have time, chant Hare Krishna.
The thing is that there are many directions. You know now something about spiritual life and also there is material life, but nothing's going on. What to do? There are many directions, but
you have
not
to
moving.
Take direction from someone who knows how to direct you. If you don't know what to do and you're confused, then you should take guidance from someone who knows better. That's why the Vedic system is that everyone should accept a spiritual guide in their lives. Because everyone in this material world is confused about their real duty. So we need a spiritual guide to give us certain disciplines to follow. Generally, people who say, well, there are so many directions to go in, they end up going in no direction. They go nowhere. They spend their whole life sitting in a chair wondering where to go. So if you want to go to Krishna, there is a path. You have to follow it. Many people are following that path and progressing on the way to Krishna. You can also do it. But you have to be prepared to make some effort. When we say that Krishna consciousness is easy, it doesn't mean that Krishna is going to come and fan you. We have to make some endeavor to progress towards Krishna. There are certain activities in Krishna consciousness which, if we follow them, will become purified. There are certain positive injunctions and certain negative injunctions. Do's and do nots. So there are certain things we should do, such as chanting the holy names of Krishna a fixed number of times, associating with devotees, engaging in the service of Krishna. So all these things promote our sense of Krishna consciousness. And there are certain negative things to be avoided, such as eating meat, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, wasting our time watching television. So if we follow these do's and do nots under guidance, then certainly we'll make progress. We are simply presenting the process of Krishna consciousness. Those who are serious and intelligent will take it up in their lives and make progress. But there's no use to complain, I'm not making progress, because it's up to you. If you take to the process, you get the result. If you don't, you don't get any result. Is there any other question?
I have one little problem. I have a 5-year-old
son. Only one problem. You're very lucky if you only have one problem. Most people have many problems. What's your problem?
He has a 5-year-old son and he's hyperactive. Meaning that he's very active and he keeps him busy all day. And when he lets his wife to come to our sessions, he has to deal with his son. And when she comes back, she has to deal with him. But the meaning is that the child stays up till 12 o'clock in the midnight and gets up at 9 o'clock in the morning and then keeps his father busy all day. So how to adjust that with spiritual life, because he has no energy or the time. Nor the time to practice something.
Well, if you go to sleep at 12 o'clock, you could get up before 9 o'clock and chant Hare Krishna.
Yes, but I'm exhausted also. I sleep till 9 o'clock also.
Sleep 9 hours a day. Well, no one can make any progress in anything if they sleep 9 hours a day. Try getting up. Try getting up a little earlier and chanting Hare Krishna. I used to sleep later than 9 o'clock. Now I don't sleep later than 4 o'clock. It's a matter of practice. In Bengali, there's a saying, Ichha thakle upai hoy. If you want, in English, what do they say? If there's a will, there's a way. You should all be more serious. Don't be flabby. It requires some determination also to be Krishna conscious. It's a fight against the material energy. So fighting means not sleeping all the time. Means you have to have some guts. Requires some strength of mind. If you have no strength of mind, you'll think, okay, turn on the TV and just... But Krishna consciousness means to be very intelligent and to understand what our real self-interest is and act on a higher platform, not just to be carried away by our senses.
The lady is not a member of the Hare Krishna movement and she's at the lecture for the first time, but when she heard your lecture, she comes into a collision with some of her own understandings. Mm-hmm. You were speaking during the lecture about the material life and spiritual life, mm-hmm. but if I were to accept everything that you have said, then and if I were to give a lecture, and then I'm sure that I wouldn't have done it in a big hall like this one, that I would do it in a park or somewhere in the open sky, since rejecting everything material. And also,
park is also material. We're in the material world, but we have to use this situation to elevate to the spiritual platform. Is the park spiritual? We take whatever is the most convenient situation for informing people about this knowledge of Krishna. Please try to understand this philosophy. Then exactly how to present it, that comes afterwards. First point to be understood is that, what is the difference between matter and spirit? All the material elements, they are classified as matter.
What you said, I'm sorry.
All the material elements, they're classified as matter. Mm-hmm. The material elements combine in many different kinds of forms, such as the microphone, the floor, the steel container. These bodies are also made of material elements. Spirit means the soul within the body. We say that I am alive. But what does that mean exactly? Because the chemicals in the body, they have no intrinsic life of their own. The chemicals which are in my body may have formerly been in the earth, and then from the earth the vegetables come. We eat the vegetables and they're transformed into this bodily matter. What makes this body alive is the presence of the soul within the body. As soon as the soul leaves the body, we say, now that person is dead. But actually the body has no intrinsic life of its own. The body is already dead. The chemicals within the body have no life of their own. But the soul within bodies give them life. So spiritual life means to understand the difference between spirit and matter. And what is the relationship of the individual souls with the Supreme Soul or God. So whether we speak in a park or a hall or on TV or just one person to another person, it is the message which matters, not the medium. We sometimes speak in parks also, and we advocate a more simple way of life. Our movement is starting farm communities based on simple living and high thinking. But if we are to preach within the modern technological society, we also have to use the means of living, the means that the people in the modern society use. So this philosophy of Krishna consciousness is a little subtle. It may not be grasped just in one hearing. So we very much appreciate your sincere interest in trying to understand this philosophy. But we would request you not to be disturbed if you can't grasp all the points that we're trying to make in one sitting. And request you to take some of these books, study this philosophy, and try to understand it more deeply. Because it's very important to understand these points. What is the meaning of life? Who is God? What is our relationship with Him? So we request you to be a little patient and try to...